will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, our souls inspire and illumine our minds with your celestial fire. For if you are with us, nothing else matters. And if you are not with us, nothing else matters. Amen. Driving in Boston. It's an act of daring, maneuvering, and squeezing into a parking space that is much too small, merging onto Storrow Drive or the Mass Pike, or trying to make a left-hand turn even. These are feats. These are feats not for the faint of heart. Some blame our roadways. Some are quick to remind us that our roadways are a jumble of just old cow paths. So there is no getting from point A to point B. There is only going roundabout through point C, via a labyrinth of one-way streets past point D, looping back by point E, dead-ending at point F, being stuck behind a double-parked Uber driver blocking traffic outside point G, finding yourself diverted due to a half-marathon or walk for hunger or big march off to point H, and then finally arriving. If you take a God's eye view, our streets look like someone has overturned a bowl of spaghetti. So it can be hard to find your way. And the same goes for reading this passage from Ephesians. Its lines of reasoning run off in this direction and that. There is circling back. It almost reads like a random jumble of images and ideas. It's hard to follow the author's train of thought and find the way through it and figure out what is being said really. But there is a path here, I think. There's a path that winds and meanders some, but which does lead to meaning. So let's walk this path. Let's walk through this passage slowly and see where it takes us. Our walk begins with "Blessed be God who has blessed us with every blessing." That's a lot of blessing. Before anything else, this passage voices a cry of praise. Blessed be God. Before anything else, there is this signaling, this cue. Do not expect a theological treatise or an orderly exposition now. Feel. Just feel what follows. For the uncontainable welling up of joy and gratitude that it is. Get yourself in a hallelujah mood, or you will miss everything that is to come. Blessed be God who has blessed us. It is a shouting out. It is a singing out at full voice. It is, if you are a texting or a bitmojiing or a geek for really great GIFs type, this is an all caps yes. For the uninitiated, that is capital Y, capital A, capital A, capital A, capital S, capital S, capital S, capital S. It is a yes, God, from someone who knows in their heart of hearts that what God says about them when God sees them, what God thinks about them is always yes. Blessed be God who has blessed us. We bless God who has first blessed us. And because blessing means, the word in Greek most literally means to speak well of. It's like deep within us we hear God speaking well of us. Deep within us we hear God saying kind and loving things to us. And then hear the echoing and echoing back of that, then sounding from our own lips in surprise and thanksgiving. It's like deep within us we hear God whisper, "There is no one like you." So that then we cannot but shout or sing out, "There is no one like you." It's like deep within us we hear God whisper, "You are good." So that then we cannot but shout out or sing out, "You are good, you are good." It's like deep within us we hear God whisper, "You are holy." So that we cannot but shout out or sing out, "You are holy, holy, holy." It's like deep within us we hear God whisper, "I love you." So that we cannot but shout out or sing out, "I love you." Blessed be God who has blessed us. We cry out in praise of the God whose praise of us is the deepest, truest, surest word, the first word, and the last word on who we are. In walking on in this passage, we discover that God's kind and loving calling to us, that it has resounded since before there even was an us to call to. We read, "God chose us before the foundation of the world in love. Before there was a you, God loved you. Before there was a you to do something impressive. Before there was a you to be helpful. Before there was a you to keep it all together. Before there was a you to be good or to be so perfect. Before there was a you to earn or to achieve or to accomplish anything, God thought of you and said, 'Wow.'" God thought of you and said, "Wow," to the stars. And before that, God thought of you and said, "Wow," to what were quantum undulations only. And before that, God thought of you and said, "Wow," to the angels. And before that, God thought of you and said, "Wow," within God's own self. So that this is astonishing. This is truly astonishing. So that even when God was all there was, even when God was all in all, even when it was God all alone, God was in a way never alone, because you were there. You were present in God's thoughts. Mysteriously, there was this cherishing of you. There always was. From eternity past, there was this cherishing of you. God chose us before the foundation of the world in love. God's longing to love you with a love that assures you of your worthiness of love no matter what. This longing and this love is beyond time. It's beyond existence itself. It's beyond everything that is. It's beyond the laying of the firmament of the beyond. Let's walk on further still. We have redemption and forgiveness of our sins. In this passage of Scripture, which testifies almost entirely to who God is for us and what God does for us, and notice the verbs: God blesses, God chooses, God plans, God wills, God destines, God bestows, God lavishes, God gathers up, God promises. In this passage of Scripture that speaks almost entirely of God, the one thing, The one thing which we can be said to do is have. Is to have forgiveness. To have it. There is no asking for it here. There is no being deserving of it here. There is no confessing here. There is no repenting here. There is no question here. You have it. You just have it. You just are forgiven. Are already and always forgiven. And of course you are. There is no one like you. And that you are good. And that you are holy. And the I love you. The I love you and that divine wow. They're the first word and the last word on who you are. God has loved you with an everlasting love, and it will bear all things and endure all things, even sins. And do you see what a marginal, what a small note, what a passing mention only is talk of sin here? Just one little line. One little line lost in all that lavishing and bestowing and blessing and giving and gathering up and all the love and all the grace. And do you see how so often we get the Christian story wrong? How we let how sinful we are and how bad we are and how unworthy we are be the first word, so that when we hear the whisper of God within us blessing us, it can only then sound like a well, or like a you'll have to do better. That it's not a divine wow we hear then, but it's something more like a divine nevertheless. The Christian story is not about behaving or about moral betterment. The Christian story is about letting yourself relax in God's unconditional love for you. And that, by the way, ask anyone who's ever tried it. It's harder than it sounds, and it will take a lifetime. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have it. God's grace and God's love are ours. They are yours before anything else and after anything else. They are yours no matter what. Our walk through this passage ends with the words, "The Holy Spirit is the pledge, it is the guarantee." This passage ends with an assurance. Because we will doubt the whisper of God within us, the word of blessing, the I love you, and the wow. Because we will protest. Because we will say, well, God, what about this? What about this way that I am? What about this that I've done? What about this that I have not done? Because we will say, what about this sin? What about this bad sin? What about this blowing it big time? What about this trying and failing and trying again and failing again? What about this way that I still have not changed? And because others will say what they say, because we will not always trust that we are who God says we are, there is this pledge, this guarantee. There is this to take to the bank. When we sigh inwardly, when we despair of who we are, and when our spirits fall, there is this other spirit in you. There is God's Spirit in you. There is a little of God in you. There is something more real than whatever is the reality of the moment in you. There's something that knows you better than you know yourself in you. There's a voice, a gentle reminding. There is a whispering, or heck, there is a shouting out, a singing out at full voice, a word of blessing which will make itself heard, which will make itself heard in you. It is the calling to you by God in kindness and in love, which has sounded from before the first "let there be," and which will sound still through the great